This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from the New Media Production Studios in Coldwater, Michigan. On tonight's show, a 5G box the size of a freezer may be coming to your front yard. SpaceX has launched 143 satellites in a single launch. NASA will soon have a helicopter on Mars. And Spotify is dabbling in audiobooks. I want to welcome you to episode 1503 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, January 25th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/insider. Become an insider. Get access to the new private insider podcast. Of course, I want to welcome all new listeners to the show. I want to thank you for being here. Definitely get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check everything out. We want you to get subscribed to the show when you're on the website. You can also get subscribed to the newsletter over there. Piece of cake to get connected with the podcast. That's where I want you to go. If you're a brand new listener, do that today to get subscribed to the show. And of course, you can contact me, you can join our chat room at geeknews.chat, or on Discord. Of course, we have a Slack channel as well. And you can get on that Slack channel very simply by emailing me at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or, of course, at Geek News on Twitter. I'm just noticing something here on the live stream. We've got the situation fixed with our friends from Wowza, but it looks like I've screwed something up tonight. And getting the DSK set up correctly. So I don't know if I can fix this while I'm on here or not. Let's see if I can do that. There we go. I want to be on graphics one. Is that what I want to be on? Yes, there we go. Yeah, I've got it fixed now. Yeah, for those of you listening, just disregard my what I've got going on here. But yeah, we got the stream fixed with Wowza. So now I can actually show live screens again, which is good. And but that doesn't detract from the fact that many of you are listening and don't care. But hey, you can check out our partner shows. They're all linked to geeknewscentral.com. Of course, it includes the New Media Show. It includes the GNC Week in Review, the Gadget Professor, the Pro Gear Site, and of course, the Podcast Legend Show, which is no longer in production. And of course, this show is sponsored by the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast. That's our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. We want you to take a moment and go over to GoDaddy, specifically the geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy page. And we want you to lock in some savings, whether it be 30% off a new product purchase, a $4.99.com, $1 a month economy hosting for the first year with a free domain, $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain, or a free trial of GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal business or business plus plans. All of those are available on my website at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. These are all the current codes for January 2021. They've been codes for a long time. They've been effective. Those $2 a month hosting plans, you just can't beat it. It really is the best deal in the online world. So we definitely want you to take advantage of that and get over to GoDaddy via geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Lock in one of my promo codes, save some money, and you support the show at the same exact time. Geek News Central's listeners save an average of 87% on purchases of GoDaddy hosting accounts and an average of $3.50 on GoDaddy domain names. And of course, this keeps this podcast online, allows me to pay the writers that we've employed to be able to put great content at geeknewscentral.com. You may notice that recently on Geek News Central, there's been no new fresh content from the blogging side, just the podcast side. And really, what that boils down to, it's because, very, very simply, run out of budget. We've preloaded the front of the month with CES coverage, And so the budget was expended for January. The team will restart writing in February 1, but you'll have the podcast to keep you company until the beginning of the month. But anyway, long story short, thanks to GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here and supporting the show. So geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. And of course, this studio is designed by our friends at audimute.com. And we definitely thank them for their support and all the great work they've done to keep the, you know, making the studio a soundscape studio, if that's the correct word. But if you're watching today, make sure you check in and say hello. Definitely want you to do so. If you're watching online, we appreciate it. Yeah, it feels kind of weird. I went two shows with not being able to, for those of you watching, do this and come back to it. And now it just like completely bamboozles me. I have no idea what the heck. So, hey, this past weekend was very, very busy. Had lots of projects to do, things here in the studio. It was busy. And plus, 1099s and all that kind of stuff. We're getting tax stuff together is always fun, as all of you that are working on your taxes, you feel it the same way I do. Had a new media show on Saturday, of course, and we had Gordon Firemark on as a guest talking about freedom of speech and podcasting and copyright issues, those kinds of things. But yeah, so I'm here. We're ready to go. Got a great show lined up for you. Thanks, everyone, for checking in. Hello, Liz. Hello, Kirk. Hello, Scott. Thanks for saying hi. Thanks for checking in tonight. And if any of you are on YouTube tonight, definitely be poking my head over there a little bit. So we do have some folks on YouTube. Make sure you say hello on YouTube as well while we're live. But everything's working good on Facebook. And what it ended up being was one setting that has been set for years in the Wowza platform. They told me to take a certain setting off, and that fixed it, you know. I had suspected it might be it, but I wanted to not change any settings while they were investigating. But it was something called stream smoothing, and that appeared to be the problem. So as we're doing the show tonight, if you guys will report how the transitions look, if they look clear, I would appreciate that. And thank you for doing so. So, hey, the lead story tonight in the podcast is leading off about a new thing that I've just become aware of today, and it's affecting people in Houston. Houston residents have been having, some residents are mad because Verizon's been installing these boxes that are about the size of a chest freezer in the public right of way of their homes. And this thing is massive. It looks like you've got a big air conditioning unit. And for those of you watching, I've put this up on the screen. This thing is, I just can't imagine having one of these in front of my house. You would have thought, in the picture, it shows a couple standing in front of their home, the picturesque, nice brick home, and right directly in front of their house is one of these boxes. I don't understand why Verizon would not have shifted this a little bit closer to like the property line. They're completely within their right of way to put this big monstrosity of a box in on the public right of way. But why did they have to put it directly in front of their house? It is insanely ugly. Now, what does this thing do? Well, it's essentially, the boxes are known as ground fixtures, and they say supply power and data to the 5G antennas that are placed on utility poles nearby. The one that was gracing the people's front lawn, like I showed for those of you watching, views are not appealing. Now, it's well known at this point that while millimeter wave tech is blazing fast, it also has terrible range. The solution to that is to blanket an area with antennas, and the equipment for that has to go somewhere. Verizon is under no obligation to get permission from homeowners before installing the boxes. In fact, it's not even required to notify them that it's going to happen. This is because technically, the boxes and utility poles that go along with them are installed on the right-of-way, which is land owned by the county. The permits to place is about $300. Doesn't cost Verizon very much. And here's the thing. Homeowners can't do anything. Homeowners are complaining, though, that it's bringing their property values down. And if you see this thing and sitting out in front of your house with a meter on it, you would agree as well. It just seems to me that Verizon could and should have been a little bit better of a good neighbor in placing these in areas where it wasn't directly in front of someone's house. And it's got to go some by or near someone's house, but you don't have to put it directly in front of someone's house. If they're sitting on their porch, they see this thing sitting here. It's big. It's ugly. But some people are having some extreme emotional reactions. And perhaps worst of all, there's the mistake that can come with installing new equipment. The Chronicle articles tell the contractors digging into pipes and bursting them, flooding a street not with 5G signal, but with water. While the strife is certainly limited to some areas there in Houston, as 5G continues to roll out, you're going to see more stories like this. And I would just say, if you're a homeowner and you see some sort of activity being staked out or special lines being drawn on paint in your yard, a case of beer goes a long way in getting a contractor to move a box a little bit to the right or a little bit to the left. To kind of, you know, not make it directly in front of the house. It is too bad that this ground furniture was essentially put in people's front yards. And again, it's within the right of way of the city to do this where, you know, where the rest of the utilities run. So I don't know. I think I would not want to, if I lived in a nice residential area and the house next door doesn't have one and I have one, I'm sure this affects the cost. Now, they could sweeten the pot by saying, hey, homeowner, it's in front of your house. We're going to give you lifetime 5G. Well, that might go a long ways. But we know that's not going to happen because the number of these have to be quite a few. Many of you know that and across the country, people are today receiving rent every month from mobile carriers when they put towers on private property. And if you're lucky enough to be in one of those locations where one of those towers are at, the rent on that can be significant. It's a gift that keeps on giving. They don't have a right-of-way to put towers on private property, so they have to rent the land space. And usually it doesn't take up a lot of land, but the rent is sufficient enough to make it worthwhile. So this is not the case with these boxes. These are just being dropped. Being dropped and hooked up and power and probably a cooling unit and everything tied into these things. So probably noisy. I would imagine them making noise. But these 5G boxes are coming to people's homes. I think I'd have tried to work a deal like, hey, install it over here, and we'll put a bush around it. You know, and don't put it in the front yard. Let's move it off the side somewhere. I think they should try to work with people a little bit, but, you know, common sense is not used in many of these regards. All right, SpaceX launches a record-setting 140 satellites in its first rideshare mission. It's called Transporter 1. It launched on Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern. I missed the launch. Didn't even realize it was happening. Maybe I missed it in the news, but Transporter 1 is a culmination of SpaceX announced in 2019 to provide space access to smaller companies at lower cost. As a result, the Falcon 9 that lifted off from the Cape carried a mismatch of satellites into space. The largest single beneficiary was Planet, which launched 48 new Super Dove Earth imaging satellites. SpaceX itself with 10 new Starlink nodes, The almost 100 remaining satellites came from a wide variety of customers. The previous record holder was India's Polar Satellite Launch Vehicle, which carried 104 satellites in 2017. And SpaceX is basically going to continue offering this service. And SpaceX has perfected the landing systems, Falcon 9. The rocket that took them up was on its fifth trip up. And its second stage Falcon 9 booster came back and landed, and they recovered the two fairings as well. So this is a good business. They're starting to figure this out. But what I was really interested in, and I saw some pictures of it, was the stack, how they stacked this up. And it basically has got the Starlinks on the bottom with a platform that has got a whole mismatch of satellite cubes on it that looks pretty remarkable. And these are much bigger than what they appear. But this was a polar orbit, and they released the 10 Starlinks very close to the U.S.-Canada border, just west of Michigan is where the Starlinks were released. I don't know where their final destination is headed, but this rideshare that SpaceX has set up is allowing satellites to basically get to orbit for as little as $1 million. $1 million gets you up to 200 kilograms of launch mass. The price goes up pretty quickly beyond that. SpaceX also charges for extras such as port adapters, separation systems, insurance, and fuel. This is pretty amazing. So with SpaceX making it so easy for companies to get to space, many are worried about the impact it could have on the space environment. Already, SpaceX Starlink network has caused headaches for astronomers as the 1,000-plus satellite interfere with observations. Placing more objects also could increase the likelihood of a collision. So there's no traffic control system to prevent this from happening, but there might become a necessity as SpaceX keeps lowering the financial barrier to entry. And I would imagine at some point we should be able to start putting up some satellite systems that will help deorbit old satellites. And of course, with the requirement now that most new satellites that go up have to have enough remaining fuel to be able to deorbit themselves, this is important. But there's lots of chunks of aluminum and metal and batteries and stuff in orbit right now. Some of it has been there for many, many years. But anyway, not to mention, during the SpaceX launch, you always see like little bits of debris, ice, sometimes a loose piece of paper or something that's at least the way it appears on the video screens. They never talk about any of that stuff that seems to be kind of floating around. One thing that was, I always see them discard is the retaining arm for the Starlink satellites. And I just wonder, that retaining arm is like this big chunk of metal. And I just wonder if there's any type of science involved in them ejecting that in the right direction to get it down a trajectory to be able to deorbit. I don't know. I think it's something that would be very fascinating to find out. And I don't know what happens those second stages. I don't know if they retain enough fuel to be able to burn themselves out of orbit. You know, it just seems like that would be some responsible tech and some things that they would do. But anyway, link is up in the show notes. You can check it out. NASA's Perseverance Explorer will land on the red planet on February 18th. So that's coming right up. That's going to be an exciting day. February 18th falls on a Thursday. And of course, we've got all kinds of activities going to happen. Is it going to land? Is it going to crash? But the Perseverance Explorer, the rover won't be the only new robotic explorer. The wheeled robot carries the Mars helicopter, Ingenuity, on its belly, and NASA has posted a handy list of things to know about this mission, although several of the six facts seem to drive home that NASA doesn't know if Ingenuity is going to work. In fact, I think they think it'll crash. They're saying Ingenuity is an experimental flight test. Mars won't make it easier Ingenuity to make to attempt the first powered controlled flight on another planet. Ingenuity relies on the Mars 2020 Perseverance mission for safe passage to Mars and for operations on the red planet. Ingenuity is smart for a small robot. The Ingenuity team counts success one step at a time. And if Ingenuity succeeds, the Mars exploration, future Mars exploration, could include ambitious aerial dimensions. So NASA continues to stress over and over it's experimental, and it uses mostly off-the-shelf hardware, which is interesting, and it relies on the Perseverance rover for communications and scouting. So NASA's focusing on small victories. Now, there's no way to control flight in real time. So true autonomous drone operations, helicopter operations. NASA stresses that Ingenuity has enough brains on board to make its own decision if this all comes together. And Ingenuity can give us an aerial view of Mars. It can change how future missions are designed. So Perseverance can complete its mission even if Ingenuity bursts into flames on its first flight. But future Mars missions may rely on flying drones for important functions. You would think so. So exciting stuff. We'll see what happens. But February 18th is the day for, what is it, the 7 minutes of terror or whatever they call it when they're making their approach. Spotify is dabbling in audiobooks by offering 9 public domain works. Initial titles include Frankenstein, Great Expectations, and Jane's Eyre. And so this is for a way for them to experiment, maybe compete with Audible. So time will tell whether or not this has any success for them. Spotify is coming under extreme financial pressure over its podcast investment as of late. Some folks telling people to sell their stock in Spotify. So that tells you that Spotify is not necessarily out of the woods from an operations standpoint. Amazon has launched the Alexa. Excuse me, and I'm sorry I just triggered your devices. The Alexa Guard Plus subscription service. The new service can play dogs barking when your smart speaker hears a break-in, along with other clever features. They're launching the subscription for Echo users, which will include 24-hour helpline alerts when your smart speakers or displays hear a break-in, deterrence measures, and more. Guard Plus will cost $5 per month or $49 per year. And this is an expansion of the existing Alexa Guard features, which monitors for sound of breaking glass or smoke alarms going off and sends alerts to users and flips connected lights on and off randomly while you're out of the house to simulate a person being inside. So interesting that they're trying to get into a little bit of security business. You can see where that is headed over time. So voicemail, you know, people don't like to leave voicemails anymore. We have people calling our support line all the time, or sales, or call me directly, and I might be on the phone, and I can see the message coming in or the call coming in. I can't pick it up, and more often than not, the party won't leave a voicemail. So I'll typically call people back that have called that I missed the call on, and they're often surprised to get the call back. And so we respond to all voicemails that come in, but they just don't happen. People just don't leave them anymore. So I'm surprised this company, this called Yak, YAC, has raised $5.7 million. It's a Slack-backed startup, and this firm is digitizing voice messages for remote offices. And I just don't know about this, that I need any type of additional voice messaging services, adding a text component. I'm already getting text translations of my voicemails already. So it's an interesting business to get a whole bunch of money in. But digitizing voice messages for remote offices and apparently reinventing voicemail is a multi-million dollar endeavor. So $7.5 million. Apple, they're facing another lawsuit over throttling iPhones. This time an Italian consumer group seeks compensation for iPhone 6 and 7 users. So this is another go at Apple. And they're looking for about $73 million in compensation. Apple's paid out quite a bit already for iPhone 6 and 7. So some of the stuff that's happened with that in the past. You know, they did $500 million settlement in the United States last March. So countries are smelling blood. And there was a second settlement with 34 states for an additional $113 million. So we'll see where this lawsuit leads. But Apple's got plenty of cash. It's not going to hurt them. How many of you have ordered something online from any of the online services, got it, tried it on? Maybe it was shoes. Maybe it was a shirt. And it was the wrong size. I ordered a couple of shirts off Amazon and ordered the size I thought I would need. They were definitely the wrong size. Amazon honored the return. I replaced it with the next size up, and I was good. But a new company called Black Cart has raised $8.8 million for its try before you buy platform. So basically, you get to try before you buy. See, they're going to offer a variety of products and services, shoes and those types of things, where you get the product, you put it on, and if it fits and you keep it, they bill you for it if you send it back. And I'm sure there's all kinds of rules surrounding that. Then you get to return it and not be charged for it. So I could see where this would be a handsome operation if they could get enough variety of products and services to do online shopping. And most of these big online places allow a return. So it's not like you're not going to get your money back, but this is definitely a new offering out there. Virgin Orbit will launch its first Dutch defense satellite in a mission that will demo rapid response capabilities. So not slowing down after they're joining the exclusive club of small launch companies that made it to orbit. So they're flying the first payload on behalf of the Royal Netherlands Air Force. This is the first ever satellite being put up by the Dutch Ministry of Defense. It's a small satellite that will act as a test platform for a number of different communication experiments. The satellite is called the BRIK-2, not because it's the second of its kind, but rather because it's named after Brick, the first airplane ever owned and operated by the RNAF. So Virgin Orbit is looking to add more payloads to this flight. Will happen later this year. So they're not wasting any time and getting their business rolling. So good for Virgin Orbit. Google Maps will soon show COVID vaccine locations. Vaccine site listings will show access requirements and appointment info. I have no idea. Even in my little small county, have no idea where they're doing COVID-19 vaccines. Have no idea how to apply for one, even if I was eligible. It is probably something that we're going to need, those of you that are choosing to get the vaccine. But you get locations for this as well. So make appointments. So we'll see what happens with this. You'll be able to do COVID vaccine in your city name and be able to get the location. It's pretty slick what it looks like they put on the website. So sometimes tech is good. In this case, I think it's outstanding. Verizon prepaid customers can now access fast 5G ultra wideband. A new unlimited prepaid plan adds access to impressive but scarce millimeter wave network for $75 per month. So if you actually live in an area that has this and you have a prepaid phone that supports it, again, you have to have a phone that supports 5G, true 5G. You'll be able to pay for that. $75 a month, you might as well just have a regular cell phone. Sorry, $75 a month is about the price of a normal cell phone plan. Makes little sense to me. AT&T may keep majority ownership of DirecTV as it closes in on a final deal. So apparently, AT&T is reported closing in on a deal to sell a stake in DirecTV to TPG, a private equity firm. Unfortunately for customers hoping AT&T will relinquish control of DirecTV, a Reuters report on Friday said the pending deal would give TPG a minority stake in AT&T satellite TV subsidiary. On the other hand, a private equity firm looking to wring value out of a declining business wouldn't necessarily be better for DirecTV customers than AT&T is. So here's what's my prediction. As soon as Elon Musk is able to get enough Starlink antennas up to support, because DirecTV is big on rural, there's no cable. So people that live in rural America that have very slow internet, they have DirecTV to, in order to get most of these television stations that many of you are paying for, digitally, they're able to not have to use bandwidth to get all these television programs. So they're subscribed to DirecTV, and then they have these minimal broadband plans. My suspicion is, as soon, and maybe it's not as big a number as maybe I'm thinking, but I'm thinking as soon as we get this high-speed broadband from Starlink, then it makes no sense whatsoever to continue to pay for a DirecTV membership when you can get the majority of the good channels that you want on a pay-per-view or pay-per-channel basis. So we'll see what happens here. But, you know, DirecTV has lost much of its value under the AT&T ownership. If you remember, AT&T bought DirecTV for $49 billion. And DirecTV could go down to as low as $15 billion. With all that hardware in the air, that's crazy. TPG says it manages $85 billion in assets, including investments in dozens of technology companies. And, of course, AT&T has lost nearly 8 million customers since 2017 from this service, which includes DirecTV Satellite, U-verse Wireline Video, and the newer AT&T TV Online service. Total customers in that category decreased from over 25 million to 17.1 million at the end of September 2020. So there's online streaming. So we'll see what happens when the rest of us get some broadband, hopefully from Starlink. And I've been seeing some of the Starlink videos. Very, very impressive. 125 megs down was the test speed I saw of a community in, I believe it was Alaska. No, was it Canada or Alaska? One of the two, remote area in either one of those places. I think it was Alaska that was able to get wired up. And within 5 minutes of getting the gear installed, they had a connection. It was really, really, really impressive. So time will tell how long this is going to take. And the antenna actually moves. It has to track the satellite. So there is some movement of the actual dish, which for long-term consideration, will probably gear will work way out. It's not like it's in a fixed, locked-in location. So time will tell on how this technology works from Starlink. Google will turn some of its offices into COVID-19 vaccination sites. It's also pledged $150 million to promote vaccine education. So they're going to convert vaccination sites in New York City, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Kirkland, Washington, and partnering with One Medical and public health authorities to open buildings, parking lots, and open spaces to anyone eligible for the vaccine. The company will work with local officials to determine when the sites can be opened. So, got to get a lot of people vaccinated that want to get vaccinated, and going to need lots of spaces, lots of locations to do that, and of course, lots of supply of vaccine, which is still very, very limited. NBC Universal is bringing its live events to Twitter users globally. Comcast, NBC Universal, and Twitter on Monday announced a multi-year global content partnership. The deal's effort to expand both the media's companies and social media's giants' advertising and audience reach. As part of the partnership, NBC Universal will bring live trending content like scenes from red carpets and sports highlights to Twitter global audiences will then be able to watch certain coverage from the events. That'll help expand the company's social inventory worldwide for marketeers. So probably not going to be able to see full events, but some partial events here and there. Jody, how you doing, cuz? Down in Florida. Nice to see you check in. Apple officially launches Time to Walk feature for Apple Watch and Fitness Plus. So I haven't seen this yet, but Apple's official unveiled its Time to Walk feature. Time to Walk offers an inspiring new audio walking experience on Apple Watch for Fitness Plus subscribers. Apple says the new Time to Walk workouts will be available today, and they appear to be slowly rolling out to users on Apple Watch. So basically, you're going to be able to, at least initially, Time to Walk is launching with 4 episodes. Country music star Dolly Parton, NBA player Draymond Green, musician Shawn Mendes, and Emmy Award winner Uzo Aduba. And so these episodes range between 25 and 40 minutes long. Here's a little thing for you. You don't need that. You don't need the Time to Walk feature. You don't need to pay for anything. You can listen to podcasts while you walk. Yes, podcasts. It support independent content creators. Use the Apple Podcast function on your Apple Watch to be able to listen to podcasts. You don't have to have your phone with you. You just need your watch to be able to listen to podcasts while you walk. AMC avoids bankruptcy, at least for now. The movie theater chain's fate still depends on vaccine rollouts, and they got about $917 million in debt capital and equity to put near-term bankruptcy off the table. So they want to resume operations later 2020-21. I don't know. I don't know if this is going to be an industry that survives this or not. Twitter has something new. It's called Birdwatch. I got mixed feelings about this. Birdwatch is an experiment for crowdsourcing fact-checking. So what they're going to do, they're fighting misinformation. Birdwatch is a community-driven approach that crowdsources fact checks directly from other Twitter users. The experiment was first spotted last fall, but the company is now officially introducing a project with a new pilot program. Birdwatch allows people to identify information in tweets they believe is misleading and write notes that provides informative context, just what we need. Twitter writes in a blog post, "We believe this approach has a potential to respond quickly when misleading information spreads and in contexts that people trust and find valuable." Sounds like a program that could be abused. Under the pilot program, users can apply to participate. Twitter notes that it will only be able to a small test group initially, but it will add more applicants over time. Approved Birdwatch computers will be able to select tweets with misinformation and pen their own notes, similar to a fact-checking website. For now, the fact checks will live on a dedicated Birdwatch site, but Twitter says the goal is to eventually integrate them directly into tweets. So seeing, trying to figure out how accurate people will be. Just like WikiLeaks, it's upon the editors' personal beliefs that causes Wikipedia to not be as accurate. There's times facts get changed because someone's got an agenda. So we'll see if this is abused. Facebook is giving researchers targeting data on 1.3 million political ads. Facebook is releasing data through its Facebook Open Research and Transparency Program in hopes of giving researchers more secure access to Facebook data. So the data set in this case will be limited to ads that ran between August 3rd and November 3rd. And what are they going to get access to exactly? They're going to see who those ads, as those ads were set up by the people running the ads, who they were supposed to target. So give them the targeting information of those ads. Wow. I could see political groups getting involved on this and saying, okay, where did our competition and buy ads and who did they target? It's very, very interesting. So some political entity with a lot of cash could claim to be a researcher and be able to research this data, and I'm sure they will. Hyundai is rolling out an adorable customer service robot for its showrooms. If I go buy a car, which I'm not, and you have some robot roll out to meet me, I'm leaving. You better bring a salesman with a clipboard and prices in hand. I do not want to talk to a robot. In an effort to offer assistance without any unnecessary human interaction, Hyundai has unveiled Dale-E, a new customer service robot that is both adorable yet functional. It debuted today in Hyundai Motor Showroom in Southern Seoul in a pilot program. The company says that part of the purpose behind Dale-E is to accommodate customers who'd like to reduce human contact during the COVID-19 pandemic. The Dale-E is an acronym for Drive You, Assist You, Link With You Experience, and the robot is equipped with state-of-the-art artificial intelligence designed to deliver a friendly customer service experience, has facial recognition plus a language comprehension platform that should allow it to communicate with potential customers. No, please. This is a gimmick. This is the stupidest thing I've read in a long time. They really wasted money on this? Are people really that scared that they don't want to talk to a salesman? Come on. If you're in the market to buy a car, you're going to want to go in. You want to go to talk with a salesman. You're going to want a wheel deal. You want to get information. Now, I won't be buying one of those cars anytime. Hey, Rick, how you doing? Apple News, Dan, and I'm going to pronounce this guy's name wrong, Riccio, R-I-C-C-I-O, begins a new chapter at Apple. Okay, so there's two names here. Dan Riccio begins a new chapter at Apple. They announced Dan Riccio transitioned to a new role focusing on a new project, reporting CEO Tim Cook, building on a more than two decades of innovation and leadership. Also, John Ternus will now lead Apple's hardware engineering organization as a member of the executive team. So he moves up into the position that Dan left. So this guy just got himself a major, major promotion, probably a major, major pay raise, 23 years. And he will now be he'll be on the executive team as a senior vice president. So good for him. And Apple continues to take care of people within the company and promoting up. Samsung is reportedly building a new chip plant in Austin, Texas to compete with TSMC. Rival TSMC is expected to build a $12 billion chip in Arizona by 2024. So the proposed facility will be capable of producing chips as advanced as 3 nanometers. Samsung's hoping to catch up with TSMC and win more American clients with the new plant. So they're going to invest over $10 billion to build its most advanced logic chip-making plant in Austin. So very, very good. According to research by Citibank, Samsung's existing facility in Texas is too small to meet the increasing orders for companies like Qualcomm, Intel, and Tesla. As per people familiar with the matter, the plans are currently in preliminary stages to subject to change. So, of course, subject to change. You know, I read something that today there are not enough raw materials available in any type of mining in the United States and almost globally to build the number of electric vehicles that is being projected. They say they have these projections of all these electric vehicles that are going to be on the road by a certain date. And then scientists are saying, and people that are involved in mining are saying they're smoking crack. They're saying this is impossible. They're not going to be able to reach these goals because they do not have the amount of raw materials to sustain the building of electric vehicles. And you think about that for a second. Cars are largely sheet metal, electrical wires, some computer components, an engine, decorative displays, a drivetrain, all largely made out of steel. And of course, a lot of, you know, additional products that, you know, that, but an electric vehicle, battery, motors, electric motors, lots of electronics, still a fair amount of steel, still a fair amount of sheet metal, decorative stuff. But the main difference is iron ore to pour motor blocks and that type of stuff is well established. Not a shortage of raw materials. Where building electric vehicles, there is going to be, they feel, a global shortage on that specialized materials needed to put batteries together. You thought nuclear waste was bad? Wait till we figure out how to take care of all these lithium-ion batteries and how that recycling is going to work. So, you know, the scientists are all, at least in the documentary I saw, they're laughing. They're like, you know, they can wish in one hand and produce these precious metals in another, and they're going to come up short. So you go, just a little bit, don't you? So we'll see where this leads. They're going to have some sort of very aggressive recycling system, recovery system. I don't know. But time will tell on this and where this leads. And especially if you think about they're wanting electric trucks and the batteries that are going to be needed for that's going to be like 5 cars worth of battery. Still going to need oil to run locomotives. Still going to need oil and petroleum products to do a lot of things for a very, very long time. It's not going to change. But our politicians know best, right? Should you buy a Wi-Fi 6E router in 2021? The 6E protocol, which runs in the 4 gigahertz range, is it's just been approved. There's plenty of Wi-Fi 6 speed for a great price. You can get a great Wi-Fi 6 router for a couple $100. But 6E, to order to upgrade, and those of you on the leading edge, you're going to spend some money for a Wi-Fi 6E. Now, by the end of the year, by 2022, the prices definitely will come down. But the first wave of Y6E routers is very, very expensive. $550 launch price. That's enough to make you gulp no matter what. So if your Wi-Fi is working, you know, you're not needing an upgrade and it's being sufficient, if you don't have too many people using your devices, I think you're going to be fine. But you can always look at the different channels in use around your house. Maybe if you've got a whole bunch of dense neighborhood and lots of people are on a variety of Wi-Fi channels, well, maybe you would want to be the first in your block for the first, you know, get you some relief for a year, year and a half while people catch up. So maybe that's a consideration. So anyway, Wi-Fi 6E, very expensive here in the near term. Twitter is removing verification badges from inactive accounts. Some verified accounts are losing their blue tick ahead of plans to change the verification system. And that's actually started on the 22nd. So some accounts are going to lose. Those accounts that were going to lose that had already been notified. So I checked both of the accounts that I have. I have a blue tick on at Geek News and a blue tick on at Blueberry. I still have my blue tick. I don't know what it really does, if it makes any advantage or not. But some people are losing their blue tick. Netflix update makes your Android phone crappy speakers sound better thanks to the XHE-AAC codec. So Netflix has detailed an upgrade to its Android app, which should reduce buffering and make sound better and easier to hear over background noise. It's been made possible thanks to the adoption of a new codec, which a Netflix blog post says should improve intelligibility in noisy environments. So you'll start to see some of that roll out on some of your devices here in the near future. All right. Google unions around the world form the Alpha Global Alliance. Alphabet has long lost its commitment to Don't Be Evil, but the folks from Alpha Global Alliance says we haven't. So various Alphabet unions have joined forces. It's created with some help from UNI Global, a federation of unions that represent 20 million workers from a variety of fields, including the tech industry. 13 different unions are part of Alpha Global, spanning 10 different countries, including the United States, UK, Germany, Switzerland, and Sweden. In a public statement by UNI Global, the alliance said it would demand fundamental human rights for all workers in Alphabet's operations and generally hold the company which owns Google and various other properties, including DeepMind, Waymo, Verily, Sidewalk Labs, and Wing accountable. So I'm sure this is not making Alphabet happy, because they haven't been very, especially Google, has not been very warm to employees forming a union, and have fired a couple of employees that were involved in some of the organization of unions early on under questionable circumstances, in my opinion. But this is the news. And so Google, I think, is now probably on the fast track to become completely unionized. We'll see. A man has been arrested after UK school reports wiped hard drives on devices connected to the network. Police pull out classic sophisticated cyber attack line. They arrested a 28-year-old. He's not been named yet because he hasn't been officially charged, but he's going to court tomorrow. And but basically, thousands of pupils' laptops were wiped clean. And this is the first cyber attack on the British education, I guess, department in a long, long time. So he's probably going to be charged with a Computer Misuse Act. And we'll see where this one leads. All right. That's going to bring me to the end of the show. I think I've got a couple of comments that have come in. Let me look here. My email today was off the hook, and I just looked, and there's already 35 new messages waiting for me. Simply insane. I got an email from, let's see here, from Jerry. He said, "Hey, Todd, you mentioned Apple TV only being on Apple TV devices, but you can also get it on the Roku TV. That's how I use it. Got my free year of it when I bought a new phone." Oh, I didn't know that Apple TV was in the Roku. So I stand corrected. Thank you, Jerry, for letting me know that. So make it a lot easier to add Apple TV. But, you know, my Sony TV is a Android TV. So I do have a Roku still hooked up to, nor do I. I have, oh, that's interesting. No, I do not. Ah, so if you have a Roku, you can get Apple TV. So, Jerry, thanks for your follow-up there. I definitely appreciate it. And anyway, that's going to bring me to the end. Hey, again, as a reminder, oh, by the way, I want to let you guys know, I've gotten a few questions about this. When I got new glasses, I have the optometrist was talking to me about a new blue coating film that I could have put on the glasses. And I asked him, "Do you think it'll be able to be seen when I'm on camera?" He said, "Oh, no, you won't be able to see it. It's just for you getting a protection against computer screens." Well, you can see the blue haze on these glasses. It's very, very clear. And I've had a few of you ask me about it that are watching the show. So, yeah, it's just the blue tint. It's part of the glasses, and if I raise my glasses up, my eye color changes on camera. So it's a little weird. So if you've seen the blue haze, yes, it's the tint of the new glasses. Yes, I did get a optometrist appointment when I was in Hawaii and got a new prescription, and they were delivered about probably 2 weeks now. I've had the new glasses, and took me a little while to get used to this new one. For some reason, I've wore transitions for years, but the transition line on this one's just a little different. So it took my eyes like 2 or 3 days to get used to the new, where that line was, and get these glasses set specifically on my head. And they also squeeze my side of my head a little harder, and it has resulted in a few headaches, but they're kind of loosening up. So that's kind of helping as well. All right. Don't forget, if you become an insider, you're going to be part of our new private insider podcast, where I'll be sharing things that just, you know, behind the scenes, more detailed discussions about what's going on. And you can become an insider by contributing to the show or helping out the show in some way. So one thing I'm looking for, and I know Sam will step up and do something, but what I'm really looking for, and I've got to get back with the designer to help me design some new screens back here, but I'm looking for something new, some new signs to put on the Ohanasaurus, the two Skype machines, looking for some new backgrounds. So if you have any, and way you do it is you set it up in 16:9, and it's two images to make one. So if you've got some ideas or you want to contribute something to the show, that would be great. So yeah, I'm looking for some new ideas. Again, I'm going to let you guys be creative. And if someone's got a little artistic, we'll run them. You send them, I'll run them. Don't want it to be an ad per se. But heck, maybe I'll run that as an ad spot if someone wants to rent the space back there. But everyone, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family here. I'll be back with you on Thursday for another edition of the Geek News Central podcast. Geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. And of course, I'm at Twitter on at Geek News. But it's my pleasure to bring you the show. I'm glad the switcher worked the entire time. So as I'm getting out of here today, it won't break things too bad. But everyone take care. We'll see you back here on Thursday. Be safe. Bye-bye.